This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, brought to you by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at sevillepodcast.com.
Bob Gibson writes for the Charlottesville Daily Progress and joins us each week to talk the latest news, the political news. And I want to thank you for coming in today as opposed to yesterday, so I could take my daughter yesterday to her new school. She actually starts kindergarten tomorrow.
Oh, that's neat.
And we are absolutely thrilled. Although the in the county, the school bus comes at like 7:20, something ridiculous, like for five-year-olds.
The kids learn how to get up early when they go to school in the county.
I guess so. But my goodness, it is mighty early. We're going to have to get her up at like 6:30, I think, 6:45.
Yeah, no, it's. I remember some early mornings.
I hate getting up that early when you're not going fishing. It seems like a crime. If you get up that early, you should be allowed to go fishing.
Well, it's always good to join you on a rainy day or a Monday.
Yeah, there you go. You had an article that came out today. I guess you could just call it some breaking news regarding Delegate Bill Janus, a Republican of Short Pump. This is big news.
He sent a three-page letter to Governor Tim Kaine saying, Governor, you have the power, and I would urge you to use the executive power to stay the collection of these abusive driver fees, because when we get into January, everybody in the General Assembly has said they're either going to change or die. You know, you used to like, and I used to like, the old Saturday Night Live routine where they would have the news on Saturday Night Live around midnight, and they'd come on, and years ago they'd show a picture of Francisco Franco, and they'd say, Franco still dead.
Yeah.
Well, the abusive driver fees may be on the books in Virginia, but I think they're almost still dead. So that's why he sent this letter saying he wants to defuse it as a political issue also before November, rather than have all these fees collected and then refunded, which the governor's talked about doing.
I spoke recently with a very high-level delegate who shall be nameless.
There aren't any low-level delegates.
He said, not from this area, but he said to me, he said, they're DOA. He said, they're dead on arrival.
Oh, yeah. Well,
when we get to Richmond, they're dead. They're not going to go anywhere.
Republicans are saying that in increasing numbers. Democrats have been saying that for a month now. They're dead.
And now let's talk about Janus in detail here, because wasn't he the same guy who was just a few weeks ago defending him and saying, hey, this works, this is good for Virginia?
He and Delegate Scott Lingenfelter of Prince William, several of the Republican delegates who were all for these fees back when they were passed in February and again in April, said that they were a good idea. And after they were initially attacked, as the stories came out about them going into effect at July 1st, Lingenfelter and Janus wrote letters to or columns for area newspapers saying, you know, these fees are good. We need to curb abusive driving, and these fees will help us do that. And by the way, they'll help raise some money for roads. But they have seen how unpopular these fees are, and they've done a 180. A quick 180 in some cases.
Yeah. Why is this? Is it because that the people who have supported this part of the transportation package are recognizing that there are real political implications here that could manifest at the voting booth in November?
These fees are so unpopular, first of all, because they're applied only to Virginians. They didn't figure out a way and couldn't figure out a way to realistically apply them to out-of-state drivers. And Virginians just consider it terribly unfair that, you know, Virginia drivers are subject to these $1,000 and $2,000 and sometimes $3,000 fees that aren't applied to out-of-state drivers who are arguably just as dangerous and just as bad on Virginia roads. It strikes people as outrageous. Maybe, perhaps not as outrageous as Michael Vick's dogfighting, but it strikes them as outrageous.
And you were telling us, I think, last week or the week before, that the other states that do this very thing, they don't even raise the money. They don't even get the money from their in-state people, let alone trying to get money from out-of-state people.
One of the effects of these laws, and a reason that Bill Janus asked that they be wiped off the collection of the fees be stayed, is that there is not uniform enforcement. And one of the problems is that in states that have tried this, and there are four, the two most notable being New Jersey and Michigan, a lot of drivers, poor drivers especially, who can't pay the fees, just lose their driver's licenses. And they end up driving anyway without a license. So you're creating a new, you know, at what point do you send them to jail? At what point does jail become sort of a debtor's prison for people who can't pay abusive driving fees?
Yeah.
That's a question. There are a lot of unanticipated consequences that a lot of people didn't think about. And now they're saying, well, when we voted for these, we really didn't think they'd apply to all these misdemeanors that they apparently do apply to, according to a list of several hundred of them.
We didn't read the fine print of the bill that we voted yes on.
Well, they don't always read the fine print. And this wasn't the most argued part of the transportation package. This was a minuscule part of the revenue for the transportation package.
The big controversial things were those taxing authorities in Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads.
Those, like these, are under court challenge. There are groups that are going to court saying you can't have a regional taxing authority. Sorry, you know, the Virginia Constitution just doesn't allow it. We don't know how those court suits are going to end up. The Attorney General Bob McDonnell says he can defend the statute. He also says he can defend the abusive driver fees. And in one case, the abusive driver fee that was overturned in a general district court in Henrico was reinstated by a circuit court judge who found, no, they aren't in violation of the Due Process Clause of the Constitution, so they can be applied. You know, there is a rational reason that legislators can can add fees for Virginia's abusive drivers. But, you know, there are other courts and other jurisdictions where that is not the law. So right now you have a law that's likely to be overturned in January, or at least very drastically altered, but we think overturned, and you have it unfairly, unevenly enforced in different localities.
Bob Gibson with the Charlottesville Daily Progress. If you have a comment or a question about these abusive driver fees, the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Bob, does the governor have the authority, the legal authority, to come forward and suspend this law and say, you know, we're not going to enforce this between now and January until they can come back and figure out what to do with it?
I am not a lawyer, and all my friends know that I am not a lawyer. And I don't even try to practice law on the radio. So when I heard Bill Janus tell me this, I thought, well, you know, he might not have that authority. Janus cites a case in which Linwood Holton, who is Governor Kaine's father-in-law, when he was governor of Virginia back in 1973, he unilaterally, during the gasoline shortage, lowered Virginia's interstate speed limits from 75 to 55 without the General Assembly's being in session. And the Virginia Supreme Court later ruled that he did have the executive authority to lower the speed limit in that emergency situation from 75 miles an hour to a maximum of 55 miles an hour. Can you imagine the abusive driver fees we'd be paying if it was 55 miles an hour now on the interstates? I mean, they wouldn't need the rest of the transportation package if they could collect that revenue.
But if Governor Kaine does this, you could argue that it would be really, he could make some political hay here and be the guy that runs to the rescue and says, this is bad policy, let's stop this. But this is the same guy that just a few weeks ago stood with the Republican leadership in the General Assembly and defended it.
Well, they defended it and they said, let's change it in January. Let's have 6 months of experience under our belts. Let's look at the experience we have. And if it needs tweaking, that's the word the Republicans have been using to say, yeah, we don't want to throw out the whole thing. Let's just tweak it, you know, make sure it applies to out-of-state drivers. Well, they haven't figured out a way to do that yet with these civil remedial fees and eliminate some of the smaller misdemeanor fees that they didn't realize apparently when they were voting on it would be applied as abusive driver fees. They thought, you know, let's change this in January. Well, they're going to change it in January, all right, but it's going to be a little more drastic than they were talking about several weeks ago when the Republican leadership and Governor Kaine, who's a Richmond Democrat, former mayor, got together and said, let's wait 6 months. And there's no reason for the General Assembly to go back now. It's the same cast of characters who passed this in April with the governor's amendments to it. It's the same. Well, actually, it would be a different cast of characters in January because we have 140 seats up for election. Now, half of them aren't being contested and only, say, 15 or 20 of them are being seriously contested where there's a chance that the seat of an incumbent will change. But there will be some new faces.
Are you seeing around the state folks who are trying to get in the General Assembly, you know, challenge incumbents?
Yes.
Are you seeing them bring this up?
Yes. Yes. The Democrats especially are running a hard line of attack. But some Republican candidates are campaigning against these abusive driver fees as well.
Right. What are you hearing out of Kaine's office? Are you hearing some inkling that he may make a move on this and unilaterally suspend it?
They have studied it. The Attorney General has studied it. There has been no inkling that this is going to be suspended yet. I think it's going to go to the legislature in January. Governor Kaine probably wants the political process to play out. He probably wants the challenges to be heard by the voters and voted on by the voters. And who knows whether this will be the number one front page issue in November on November 6th or not. We can't tell that now. But the governor probably wants those those issues to be before the voters. The Republican incumbents probably want those issues to be settled between now and November 6th.
So if Governor Kaine just totally leaves those abusive driver fees on the books between now and the election, he gives his fellow Democrats something really strong to run on.
You know, it's a bit untoward because you have the governor who's at least standing on the sidelines saying, no, these we passed these for a good reason. And then you have a bunch of Democrats running against them for the legislature. They're not exactly on the same page.
Yeah.
Sort of a dual strategy there.
Bob Gibson with the Charlottesville Daily Progress is my guest, and the phone lines are open, 977-1070. Bob, let's step back and see the forest here. We've been looking at some trees up close. Let's see the forest. How did we find ourselves in a position, arguably debating, at the very least, some controversial and unpopular public policy, if not downright bad public policy? How did we get into this mess, this pickle, and in this in light of the fact that, you know, the budget shortfall that Virginia is looking at is incredibly pronounced?
It's $500 or $600 million. That depends on how far back you want to step. If you want to step real far back, part of the answer would be because we have redistricting in Virginia that no matter which party controls it, carves so many districts that are one party dominated and uncompetitive in two-party races, that the real race for those seats is going to be between the holder of the seat and the challenger from his own or her own party. That's the situation that leads to this kind of gridlock in Richmond, because you have Republican delegates who are more afraid of facing a challenge from an anti-tax Republican in a June primary than they are from facing a Democrat in November, because their district is so slanted, so heavily Republican. Now, that's not the case in all districts, obviously, but it is in enough that they feel they can continue to control the House of Delegates. So that's one reason.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Eric is on line one. Eric, thanks for the call. You're on with Bob. Go right ahead.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Coy.
Hey, Eric.
Listen, my question is this. I mean, we're talking about a budget shortfall, but one thing that's sort of been left by the wayside for quite a long time now were the cuts suggested by the Wilder Commission, which also included privatizing the ABC stores in Virginia, among other things. This was a commission appointed, you know, by a Democratic governor with someone running it, but it was also a former Democratic governor, and they came up with quite a few what I thought were sensible cuts and or privatization ideas that could save the Commonwealth a great deal of money. You mentioned also Delegate Janice. He and another delegate whose name escapes me right now came up with another list of wasteful programs that could also be cut along the lines of the Citizens Against Government Waste pick book. And
you make a very straightforward case, Eric, but you're forgetting that Governor Wilder has an asterisk next to his D. He is not a party line Democrat, never has been, never will be. And I remember covering his commission after it had been appointed by a fellow Democratic governor, and he was saying, oh, yeah, let's look at this ABC stores, privatizing them. And the governor's office was saying, no way, you know, no way. That before these recommendations ever came out, they were dead. I think that sometimes commissions are more for show than they are for actual action.
What is the chance that the General Assembly might pick up on this commission recommendations? Because that is, aside from dealing with these abusive driver fees, the General Assembly is going to come back in January, have to come up with a two-year budget facing an incredible shortfall. One estimate has it at $1.2 billion over the next 2 years.
Well, actually, it's not incredible. Actually, these cycles happen now and again in our economy, and this one, compared to past downturns so far, appears to be a fairly light downturn. You know, we don't know where it's going. It could get much worse. But the point is that Eric is right. These recommendations have been made. They are on the books, on the shelves, for how to save some money. And I think when you get into an economic downturn, that's when the General Assembly actually trots out some of this old stuff and says, let's get serious about looking at this again, because, you know, we do have to save some money, or we're going to have to cut real programs that affect real people.
Well, on one of your shows, Bob, I actually called and asked then-Lieutenant Governor Kaine his opinion about privatizing the ABC stores, and he said he saw no problem with it. What has been bizarre to me is to hear some Republicans opposing it on the grounds that they thought it would somehow lead to liquor stores on every corner.
Yep. Yep.
So you have
kind of a Christian right opposition, and you have the state should be doing this responsibly opposition. It is not a party line issue. You're right.
Eric, thank you so much for the call. We're going to have to break here at the bottom of the hour for local news and weather. Bob Gibson, thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Always enjoy coming
and
on the show.
And, of course, there's a long list of stuff we never got to, but we will get to it when you join us again next Monday.
Love to do it.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To participate in the program, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevopodcast.com.